Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like grape banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everyone. It's welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. Oh, you lazy fat fucks. We are not going to endure another 4 years of Donald Trump, and that's so fucking cool. Oh, boy, man. More on that in a second. Guys, I'm doing some shows. Can you come to them if you're, like, around or whatever? If you're in New York City, Corinne and I are doing a drive-in show at Coney Island on Saturday, November 13th. I tried to Google where the ticket link was, and I couldn't find it. So that's all I have for you right now, but I'm sure by the time you listen to this, I will have put it up on a website or something. But yeah, Saturday, if you're in New York, we're doing a drive-in show at Coney Island. Who knows how the fuck that's going to go? Because I can't, you know, your girl loves immediate gratification. And I want everyone to adore me all the time and go, ha ha, laugh with me, not at me, please. But that doesn't always go the way I intend, huh? And when you can't hear the people laughing and they're just in their car, I don't know how that's going to go, but come to it. Is that a good plug? Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So far, we're still going to these places. If you buy tickets to these shows and they get canceled because of COVID, you'll get your money back. So buy a ticket. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, November 19th through the 21st. I'm just so happy that Biden won. We're going to be at Bricktown Comedy Club, Baltimore, Maryland, November 27th and the 28th. We're going to be at McGoobie's Joke House. So, like I said, so far the shows are still happening, but the cases is going up and stuff, and so I don't know if they're going to happen still. Who knows? We'll figure it out. I was walking Kevin the day that the election results were called. It was a Saturday. Yo, global warming, it's real, because it's fucking November, and it was 73 degrees today in New York City, and I was like, well, that sucks for my future kids if I ever have kids, but also, ooh, I can blade. But when, on Saturday, it's past Saturday, it was just such a gorgeous day out, and so, and by that time, it looked like Biden was going to win, because then you uncovered the thing that happened where Trump blocked Republican or some states from counting the votes, the early voting ballots, until election day. And so many people voted early that it was going to take days to count. And the majority of early voters is always usually Democratic. And also Trump was like, guys, don't vote early, you stupid fucks. Go to the polls. And I was like, well, that's stupid. But also everything he says is stupid. So makes sense. Anyway, I was walking Kevin. And I had just had a crazy night the night before. I'll tell you about that in a second. But I was walking Kevin Saturday, 62 degrees out. Motherfucking 62 degrees out in November. I mean, what? And I'm walking, and then there's this guy, a guy was walking his dog, and so Kevin and this guy's dog were like making out or whatever, licking each other's butts. Dogs really, I mean, dogs are cool. Dogs, I love watching dogs function because they'll just sniff each other's asses and then move right along, you know? It's pretty personal. But dogs don't think so. That's just saying, hello, how do you do? It's crazy. But so the dogs were, you know, licking each other's butts or whatever. And I heard all this like screaming and singing. And I was like, huh? And I go, what the hell happened? Wait, did Biden win? He goes, yeah, you didn't hear? He won. And I was like, he did. And I went, hallelujah. And I did one of those little side kicks in the air with both my feet. And I skipped all the way home. And I was like, where's Kevin? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. He was beside me the whole time. Kevin and I skipped the fuck home. I carried him because he's not a good walker. He walks real slow because he got sniffed every goddamn thing because his nose is very close to the ground. Anyway, I was just so excited. I was dancing around my house. And I went to play a fuck Donald Trump song on my Sonos. There's a lot of songs about Donald Trump being terrible. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to listen to the whole goddamn soundtrack of terrible songs about Donald Trump's piece of shit. And I opened my windows and I live on the first floor. So I was blasting it and I was outside. I was waving to people. It was like, it felt like the only time I've ever had a feeling like this where every person is in a good mood. The only time that has ever happened that I've experienced that is such a, you know, large amount of people in a, such a good mood at the same time was at a Beyonce concert. Every time I go to a Beyonce concert, yo, motherfuckers are so excited that they are about to be graced with one of the greatest living entertainers to ever grace the planet. That everyone's just in such a good mood. And I love when people are happy because I'm like, let's no one be mean to each other and we'll all be really nice and very considerate and respectful, huh? How's that? And most times people are like, fuck you, Christina, piece of shit. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not exactly the plan. Okay, yeah, no, don't worry about it. And so when I go to a Beyonce concert, which I've been to many, it's just, I love going early because I get to check out her merch and I like buy one of each of everything. And everyone's just in such a great fucking mood. And it's rare to have that many people, stadium full of people, in just the most beautiful mood. And that was Saturday, man. That was Saturday. It was like that scene in 500 Days of Summer where Joseph Gordon-Levitt, oh, he's so hot, right? I'll sit on his face. Please, someone do not tell me that they had sex with him and then he was mean to you. Although I would want to know that, because then that would douse my attraction to him completely. That would just negate it. Because I was talking about how I wanted to sit on Leonardo DiCaprio's face, and someone said that her friend fucked him and he had his headphones in the whole time. And I was like, okay, that's not the kind of disconnected fucking intimacy I'm looking for at all. So never mind. No more crush on him. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Ooh, what a cutie. I'll sit on his face if he wanted me to do that. But there's that scene in 500 Days of Summer after he hooks up with Zooey Deschanel for the first time, and there's cartoon birds flying around. That was New York City all day. It was just fucking great. But I said to myself, I says, Christina, we're going to have one day of going, woohoo, motherfuckers, and then just, you know, be excited and stuff, but just only one day of woohoos. Because it doesn't mean shit's solved. It doesn't mean that there's not racism everywhere. It doesn't mean that sexism is... It's just, you know, there's still a lot of work to do. But boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy, I'm glad I don't have to look at that turd's face for too much longer, huh? It's just so exciting. It's so exciting. Viola Davis, I follow her on Instagram, and she posted a video of John McCain, Senator John McCain. He was running against Barack Obama, and McCain had lost. And she posted a video of John McCain's concession speech. And her caption was something like, class, grace, you know, this is what we're talking about. If, when you lose an election, you have grace, you have dignity, you have respect for your opponent, and you're not a piece of shit. Do you know what I mean? So here's an excerpt from John. I'm not going to do Fuckboy Friday this week because I've been hearing from enough fuckboys. There's one orange fuckboy that I heard too much from and I don't want to hear about that. But let's remind ourselves that not every man is a piece of garbage, huh? So here's an excerpt from Senator John McCain's concession speech. And it's a nice reminder of what losing gracefully looks like. Again, this is an excerpt, so this is not the whole thing. I've always believed that America offers opportunities to all who have the industry and will to seize it. Senator Obama believes that too, but we both recognize that though we have come a long way from the old injustices that once stained our nation's reputation and denied some Americans the full blessings of American citizenship, the memory of them still has the power to wound. A century ago, President Theodore Roosevelt, in invitation of Booker T. Washington to visit, to dine at the White House, was taken as an outrage in many quarters. America today is a world away from the cruel and prideful bigotry of that time. We still got it though. There is no better evidence of this than the election of an African American to the presidency of the United States. Let there be no reason now for any American to fail to cherish their citizenship in this, the greatest nation on earth. Senator Obama has achieved a great thing for himself and for his country. I applaud him for it and offer my sincere sympathy that his beloved grandmother did not live to see this day, though our faith assures us she is at rest in the presence of her creator and so very proud of the good man she helped raise. Senator Obama and I have argued our differences and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. There are difficult times for this country, and I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I mean, isn't that a nice way to lose, huh? You keep your dignity and your pride and your morals and your values. It's such a beautiful speech compared to, you know? Compared to, compared to, God, I'm so good at doing fart noises. It's like such a gift, and I'm like need to share it with the world more. It's just, I just would love, just we need. I just wanted to remind you of there was once a time when a presidential hopeful did not win the election, and he said so with grace. He conceded with grace and respect and dignity, and just, boy, we just need more examples of that and not fuck boys, you know? Because I'm like, look, I think the fuckboy theater thing's hilarious, but it's also depressing to me. And I need to remind myself that not all men are pieces of garbage, because they're truly not. In fact, I would wager to bet most men are not. Most men are not garbage. But, you know, when you read 800,000 fucking screenshots of, can I fuck you? No, I don't know you. You stupid fucking whore, I hate you. It just, it taints your vision of men a little bit. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to paint them in a good light for me. Because one day I want to fall in love again, y'all. It's going to happen for me. I just know it. Thank you. P.S. This is not a P.S. This is a much needed thank you. Thank you, black people, for fucking voting Biden in. Thank you. Look at all the major cities that had all these early votes. Most of their populations were black. Black people did this, okay? They helped us get the avoid the president that 55% of white ladies deserve, frankly. So, and I thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Philly. Thank you, Detroit. Thank you, Atlanta. Like, thank you. Stacey Abrams, my God, thank you. Jesus Christ, thank you. We don't. I mean, so many people in this goddamn country deserve more Trump, but I really appreciate your efforts. Seriously. Good God. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And there's so many parallels that I have with my disgust for the current president and my parents. Like, just anybody I got a problem with in my life or, like, has had a problem with. I'm just like, you guys don't fucking listen. And then you just say shit that isn't true. And then when people are like, that's actually not true, you're like, and you're like, well, now we can't have a conversation because you're being a mumbly piece of shit. It's just, it's so nice. And oh my God, Liz Plank, I fucking love her. Corinne and I interviewed her on Guys We Fucked. She wrote a book called For the Love of Men about how there's just the bullshit of masculinity and what it does to men and how fucked up it is and how no one says anything. I love that she did this. She's a great writer. She's a great reporter. She's really hot, which she don't care about. That's not like a thing. But like, I love when hot people are really nice and kind and fucking smart and dedicate their lives to making a difference. I think it's great. Cause I'm like, you got the golden ticket, boo. You're hot. You don't have to do anything. And then they're like, yeah, I don't care about that. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Honestly, I really respect that. I really respect that. Anyway, she wrote this book, For the Love of Men. I highly recommend you read it. But she had posted a video, I guess, on her TikTok, and somebody else reposted it. But it was a video of Joe Biden was at some, I believe it was a fallen soldier's funeral services. He was at somebody's service. And the son of the person who had passed had Down syndrome. And he was saying, you know, thank you to the family. And then the son ran up and hugged Joe Biden. And Joe Biden just hugged him so warmly and said, thank you for hugging me. And like, kissed his head and said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be, and I watched that video and I just started crying. Because then you think of like the way that the current fart head,
fucking farthead piece of fucking shit. Talks about other humans, talks about other races, talks about women, and mimicked that reporter who had a disability. Oh my good God, you piece of fucking shit. I'm just so happy that that piece of shit did not prevail. Whew! Oh my God. It's just, he's such a goddamn bully. And as someone who's been bullied by people who were related to me, by people who weren't related to me, by strangers on the internet, by a lot of people, I just, it means a lot to have somebody in the office who just treats people with respect and, you know, just respect, man. Respect. I'm very excited. I'm very happy. So thank you, everyone. There's so many. And then thank you, England. People in England, man. When Trump first got elected, Corinne and I think that's, yeah, Corinne and I had our, we only went to England, London once to perform, which is nuts because we have a big following there. It's one of my favorite places ever. I love London. I want to live in London. I think I'm going to do it one day. I want to live in London or have a house in London or something. I just fucking love London. And we were performing there, but then he had just gotten elected and there was just like, fuck Donald Trump, and there were protests. And I was like, you guys, you are affected by him because a world leader of America, a leader, you know, the president of America is going to affect other countries and stuff. But like, I really appreciated the support from England. And then there's just all these clips of people all over in other parts of the world, in Paris, in London, in all these countries that were just applauding and dancing in the streets because Donald Trump lost. And I was like, you guys, thanks. That's so supportive. And I really appreciate it. Okay. Oh, I told you last week that I was going to hang out with my friend's daughter, who's 6. And I was very excited to hang out with the kid because I just like needed that. Yo, it was so fun. And also, your girl, world's best babysitter. I gotta say, world's best babysitter, okay? I'm a kid with money. I am a child. I live my life like a child. I'm a kid with tits and a bank account and a credit card, not to brag. But it took me a long time to get my credit back up so I can get a credit card. And then the first credit card I had was only for a $500 limit. And you know what? Your girl spent 45 of those $500 limit to have the background image of the credit card be a kitten running through a field. That's a bad credit move, my friend. That's not what someone with good credit does, but so it goes. So anyway, I was babysitting my friend's daughter, very excited. I was like, what are we gonna do? I got all my freaking colored pencils out. And I was like, yes, they're all sharpened and I have so many different kinds. And she was like, fucking cool. She didn't say fuck, because she's 6. But it was nice to hang out with an adorable child on election day. We made a pillow fort. I was like, that's fun. I took all the pillows down from my loft and we made a pillow fort. And then she ran down the hallway and we like jumped in the pillows. And I was like, that's cool. Let's make a blanket fort now. And she's like, yeah. Oh, it was so fun. We did a puzzle, although she did not take the puzzle as seriously as I did. And then that made me have to re-examine the roots of my competitive nature, but so it goes, you know what I mean? And then we had a dance party. It was awesome. It was just great. We fucking colored, we drew. It was so fun. We had snacks. Oh, fucking love snacks. We hung out in the loft. Kids are so smart. She has an iPad. And she was making these videos, like these animated videos. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, I've been telling myself I got to get on TikTok because it's all, you know, it's a huge platform and my comedian friends are getting millions of views. And it's just a great way to be seen because, you know, your girl loves to be seen because not a lot of people saw me when I was a child. So, I've been meaning to get on TikTok and I have one, but I haven't done a video yet. And then I'm sitting next to this 6-year-old who's just making animated videos of her and her friends and she's making up the characters and then putting dialogue in. And I was like, well, goddamn, girl. I guess my lazy ass just gotta really bunker down and do that TikTok, huh? If a 6-year-old can make an animated short on her iPad, certainly my 32-year-old ass can figure out a goddamn TikTok. Also, this is really funny. So I have, like, my apartment is just like, just very kid friendly in that I have a lot of kid stuff to do. But I also have pieces of art hanging around my apartment, but specifically in my office that are not kid friendly, but that they reel kids in, you know, they lure kids in with the imagery, and then you realize that's not appropriate for a kid to be looking at. For example, Corinne, one Christmas, purchased me a piece of art. It's a picture. It's like a, I don't even know how to describe it because it's not a painting. It's a photo, but it's like a laminated photo thing. It's a weird, it's not framed, whatever. That part doesn't matter. But it's a photo from this artist called The Secret Life of Toys. And it's a black and white photo of a Barbie doll, shirtless, laying face down on a pillow, but her head's to the side. And then there's a Ken doll with a bag over his face on top of her. And I love it. I love that piece of artwork because I don't really know what it, you know, it could mean a million different things, but it's silly to me. It's silly and it's weird and it's, it could be fucked up and dark depending on who, the brain of the person looking at the picture. But she came in, she goes, oh, is that Barbie? And I was like, oh no, honey, we don't look, don't look at that. Don't look at that. Cause it's got, I don't know what kind of vibes, but Barbie's not wearing a shirt and Ken's just on top of her. It looks like, you know, you're only seeing him from the waist up, but it does look like he's putting it in her butt. If Ken had genitals, he'd put it in her. And if she had a butthole, that's probably what would be happening. And she looks like she's pretending to enjoy anal, kind of. I mean, that could just be a personal projection. But yeah, so this little girl was like, oh, is that Barbie? And I was like, oh, okay, we don't look at that. Let's go in my office. Then you can color. Because I had to do some work that day. She was over at my house for a couple hours. And then I have I have a print of Snow White making a sucking a dick gesture, you know, when like you take your right hand and you hold it in front of your mouth as if you're jerking off a dick, and then you press your tongue on the opposite cheek, so that looks like the head of the dick, so it looks like you're sucking an imaginary dick. So this print I have in my office is of Snow White sucking an imaginary dick, and in the Disney font under Snow White, it says, bitch, please. And I purchased it at a local artist booth at RuPaul's Drag Con over the summer. Or no, two summers ago, which was also the same day that I met my biological half-sister for the first time. And yes, I was wearing a green bob wig and a mini skirt and tall white vinyl high heel boots. It was a weird day. Anyway, I got that print and I put it up in my office. And so when I'm being, you know, babysitter of the year, she's in my office coloring, because of course I have like all these colored pencils and markers and crayons. What one you want to do, boo? I got them all. And she was going to get up out of my office, and then she turns and sees the Snow White print, and she goes, what's Snow White eating? And I was like, hey, want to have a dance party of the Spice Girls? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And so I just hurried her along now because I didn't know what to say. She's sucking on she's eating a lollipop. Well, there's nothing in her mouth. Well, you know, honey, okay. When a man loves the woman and the woman just, you know, wants to appease the man, and then when she's pissed off later, she does that gesture being like, I sucked your dick, so you buy me a diamond bread. You know, I just didn't have time to explain that to her. So I was like, let's go have a dance party. And we did, because do I have disco balls? Yes, I do. Do I have these weird light up things that look like jellyfish that are hanging on my ceiling that are remote controlled and they could do all these different colored lights? Yes, I do. So we had a Spice Girls dance party. It was great. It was great. Fucking, I needed to hang out with a kid. God, I'm such a kid. Such a fucking kid. Yo, I had a New York night, Friday night, before we knew who was going to win the election. By that time, it's pretty clear. But I had like a night that was reminiscent of the old New York. And it was great. Dave Chappelle hosted Saturday Night Live this past week. And every time the host of SNL, especially if they're mostly when they're a comic, they do this. Sorry, not every time. When the host of Saturday Night Live is a comedian, they want to go around in New York City and do shows so they can rehearse their monologue. And Corinna texted me, oh, yo, Dave Chappelle's going to be at the Stand tonight. And I was like, what? And then I learned he's hosting SNL. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to go to the Stand, see if I could see him. Love Dave Chappelle. One of the best stand-up comedians that has graced this time in the world ever. He's the best. I love him. Corinna and I opened for him 2 years ago. He is such a, he's an important stand-up comedian for me. He is a person who, he exemplifies having a kind heart and leading with it and having morals and values, but also being a funny motherfucker and being, he's so good with words. The way he tells a story is absolutely beautiful. And he's very poignant. And he's super fucking famous. And he's a nice person. So I need you to see that. When Kurt and I opened for him, it was just one of the coolest things that had ever happened to us in terms of our comedy careers at that point. I mean, Dave Chappelle's the best. And you get to open for him? Like, holy fucking shit. It was great. He's so nice. He's just so fucking cool. And I smoked him up. And I was like, I rule. So we were at the stand and I was like, then I heard there was rumors like he was bussing in his audience, his, you know, and that obviously everybody needed to get COVID tested before they see him to be around him. So there was a nurse's station set up and people were getting instant COVID tests, but it looked like, I got to the stand and it looked like, you know, the audience had already been pre-selected and stuff, which, yeah, makes sense. And everyone was getting a COVID test. And I, you know, your girl, I think I've said this a couple of times on this podcast. I just have good luck. Or good energy, I don't know what you want to call it. I say luck, but I also work hard. But like with these kinds of instances, I've snuck myself into so many fucking parties that I did not belong, into which I did not belong there. You just gotta act like you belong. And honestly, it does work. And for part of my personality can be very shy and like, oh, am I a piece of shit? I don't really know. And a little spineless. I mean, hey, we're learning, we're growing. I'm getting that part out of me. However, I have never had a problem getting into parties, which is, you know, when you're a girl, that's easier, but you gotta have titties, first step. Anyway, it was clear that they were being very strict on who could go down there. You had to get an instant COVID test. And so I asked one of the guys that worked there, I was like, yo, can I get a COVID test? And he was like, sure. And then he took me into the doctor to get the instant COVID test. And then they put myself, I got, and I waited for the results and they're like, oh, it's negative, you don't have COVID. And I was like, cool. It was so exciting. It was like I was waiting for a pregnancy test, but I haven't had sex in 9 months, so it's actually not like that. I just wanted to say that and get it off my chest. Anyway, when I got the instant COVID test results back, they put my cell phone in this blocked pouch, which I know, and I was like, oh, am I gonna go downstairs and see Dave? Okay, cool, see you guys. I came with a bunch of friends. And I was like, all right, I'll see you guys later. I'm going to go see Chappelle now. See ya. I really need this. I need something special to happen. And this is it. So see ya. And I got to see him do his monologue. Mo Ammer was there, who opens for him a lot on the road. He's such a fucking great comedian. Artie Fuqua was there. He did a set. Michelle Wolf did a set. And then Dave did his monologue. And it was fucking great. God, that man is so prolific and talented. And I really like him a lot. But I will say, yo, everyone, anytime I step into a building that is a comedy club, and Michelle Wolf had been there at that day at some point, every person thinks I'm Michelle Wolf. If I wear my hair down, every person thinks I'm Michelle Wolf. And I'm like, guys, we're not, her hair's red just because it's curly? Really? And my hair was way puffier because it had been humid out. And I just didn't look like Michelle Wolf. And I was like, but it happened to the point where I was like, am I crazy? And then I was like, no, Christina, you were raised to think you are crazy so you could be easily controlled. And maybe that wasn't done on purpose, but it was done so you were not crazy. And then people kept saying, great set. Oh my God, I loved your White House speech. And I was like, I'm not Michelle Wolf. You guys, I'm not Michelle Wolf, okay? One cool fun fact about me, I mean, not that she's not, Michelle Wolf is a fucking incredible stand-up comedian. If you've not seen her specials, watch them. She fucking nails, I love her. Talk about word economy. I'm always obsessed with word economy as a stand-up because I don't have it yet and I really want to get it. Michelle Wolf has word economy. Every word she says in her set matters and is there on purpose. My rambling ass is like, oh, am I doing a joke? Sorry. But everyone always thinks I'm Michelle Wolf. And it happens so often where I'm like, what the fuck? Is it just the curly hair? But I was wearing, like, I guess accidentally a Michelle Wolf uniform because it was tight jeans. She has great fucking legs. And I was wearing my Air Force One Nikes. And I usually don't wear sneakers out. But I was like, well, the old me doesn't wear sneakers out. The new me is like, fuck heels, baby. I'm going to be comfortable. But just so many people thought it was Michelle Wolf. Anyway, the point is, it was a magical New York evening. And none of us, we were all sitting down in a comedy club, and that hadn't happened since January. It was so bizarre. Most people still had their masks on, even though we just got tested. Just because it just feels weird, man. It was wild. It was wild to see Dave Chappelle It was so cool to see him do his SNL monologue. And but it was very wild being in a club with a bunch of people in it. Because even when Corinne and I have gone on the road, that shit's spaced out as hell. And yes, you can take your mask off at the table, but it's spaced the fuck out. It was just so bizarre. And then as I was leaving, there was like, Michelle, Michelle. I'm like, I'm not Michelle. She's a lovely lady, but I'm Christina. Anyway. Ugh. Oh, I wanted to tell you this. First of all, I think you should make sure you got to have friends in your life. People who are listening to this, you. Make sure you have friends in your life who are curious about themselves and about being a better person and about just being, just that care about things, even if it doesn't affect them. Like, just empathy. It's just, you got to have at least one friend. And I know sometimes guys, like, don't have a lot of friends. Like, guys just, like, the men in my life, like, that I'm related to, like, they just don't have a lot of friends. And I'm like, but you're cool dudes. Like, I don't know, like, maybe guys just don't need as many friends. I don't know what the deal is. But a lot of, you know, I have a lot of guys with guy friends. But I feel like maybe this is especially applicable to men because you don't have as many friends as women do. And who knows what the root of that is? I have no idea. But friends are for pussies. Make sure you have at least one friend in your life who is just curious about themselves and curious about other people and has empathy. And if you, especially because I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you're at least a little bit curious about yourself. Two people who are curious about themselves, you're unstoppable forces of nature. I say that because Saturday after I found out Biden won, we were like, yeah, bye, Cheeto. I had a photo shoot scheduled with Donna, who does New York with me and runs the Donnas. And a girl named Kylie, who designed all my merch, she came over to help out for the photo shoot. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And a woman named Morgan, oh crap, what's her last name? I'll tag her in the photos when I post them. From this photo shoot, did my makeup. And I was like, I want this fucking neon shit. I want a weird fucking neon makeup. I want to look like a traffic cone jizzed on my fucking face, but like in pretty ways, you know what I'm saying? And she was like, yeah, I got you. And I loved the makeup that was done. And it was just a fun photo shoot. They came over at like 8 and then we were going until 3 a.m. It was so much fun. It was just fun to be around friends who are fun and creative and just kind people. I talk about kindness a lot. It really fucking matters, man. When I made Dwell, one of the reasons I was so excited to do a short film and one of the reasons why Dwell happened was because I had met a group of people that I'd worked with on another project, the director of Dwell and the cinematographer of Dwell, that were just good, kind people who had a good sense of humor. And they were just cool. And when that's the vibe of a creative project, you guys, you can run with it. You're like a child in a toy store. And there's all these different combinations that you can make up. And you just have fun creating. It was just such a fun photo shoot. And I gave, Donna wanted to take some pictures. Donna does everything. She's a fucking nurse. Full time. She runs the Donnas. She hosts a podcast. She co-hosts another podcast and she's a photographer. Like, just this lady has so many skills. It's crazy. But she was like, I want to get photos of you in the bathtub with some of my merch. This photo shoot was for my merch. And so I gave Kylie a box of shit I had downstairs because I have two full bathrooms in my apartment. That's a privilege and a gift. And I got to say, why not use the bathtub that you don't use to take a shower or a bath as like a fun little space, you know, for a photo shoot? So Dee was like, I want photos of you in the bathtub. So I gave Kylie this box of lights that I had, of flower vines that I didn't use in the loft, and of old Halloween costumes. And she's like, all right, I think I know what to do. So she like did her thing and I went back upstairs. And then we eventually went downstairs because, like, okay, we shot everything we needed to in my upstairs, and then we're going to go to the bathtub. And she turned it into this Lisa Frank-esque, you know what it kind of reminded me of? The pregnant photo shoot that Beyonce did with all the flowers and the fucking, with the lace and the veils and shit. And she had a flower crown. I didn't have a flower crown, but like, it just, there was a lot of lace and flowers and caution tape, which didn't remind me of Beyonce's maternity photo shoot, but it was just a cool like set. She like did a great set design on this on my downstairs bathroom. And we had a great shoot. It was so much fun. They were there till three. It was just great. It was great. The photos are great. And yesterday I came home and I saw, you know, I didn't remove the stuff from my bathtub. And I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. You know, I use the upstairs bathroom to shower and stuff in. I only, you know, take a poop or take a pee in this bathroom in the middle of the night. Well, I don't poop in the middle of the night. But I pee in the middle of the night. So I just use that bathroom just for that, really. And so I was like, I'm going to fucking leave this here. And then I looked around at the additional props that I had. And I was like, I'm going to make it even crazier. And I just, last night I came home and I smoked a little bit of weed and I just put up more flower vines and more lights. And I had this old wedding dress costume from like a Party City. But it was a really beautiful, like soft lace. And I fucking hung it everywhere. And I put this giant tutu on the shower head. And then I put a big cushion in the bathtub and I laid down and I smoked weed. And I was like, God damn it, Christina, you did it again. You're a child with a bank account and I love you for it. And now I have this like weird fucking art installation in my bathtub downstairs. And I was like, girl, you're so fun. And I was like, yeah, I know. So be your own best friend. That is all to say that my merch is available currently right now on my website. There'll be a link to it in the description of this podcast. Go look at it, buy it if you want. And then the photo shoot, I'll have some photos up on the Instagram account at Christina Presents. You should follow it. That'll also be in the description of this podcast, because don't click it yet because I still got more shit to say. You know what I mean? So don't leave. But one of the things that I purchased these press-on nails that were long, like very, very long. And I was telling Donna, I was like, should I do the nails? And she's like, yes, do the nails. And if she didn't say that, I would have just, you know, gone without them. I'm so glad she said that. Yo, when I've never had nails that long before, because I used to get my nails done in Virginia. I look at this as a Southern thing, but I realize it's not just a Southern thing. When you get the acrylic nails, I fucking have French tip acrylics since I was fucking 12, y'all. But it felt like, you know, the acrylic nails that are much, much longer. And I'd never had nails that long before. It was crazy. I will say I felt sexy and feminine as hell, but you can't do shit with those nails. I couldn't pull my underwear out of my ass. I had so many wedgies, front and back. Couldn't do nothing about it because these nails were so goddamn long. I was like, how the fuck does anybody do anything? Couldn't play piano. Couldn't wipe my ass. I could barely text. But they made me feel so goddamn pretty. So what a dilemma. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why women are mad all the time, because it's like we want to look beautiful so people give us jobs and want to date us, but then it's a pain in the ass. That, in a nutshell, is a woman's dilemma. Yes, I know. I speak for all women when I say that. And so you're welcome, everybody. You're welcome. Man, I hope you understand a little more. I'm here to help. I really love, it was such a 50-50 feeling in my head with these nails. Because I felt like more of a woman with these nails on. I felt way hotter. I also had my makeup done. I've gotten my makeup done a bunch of times before. Nothing has made me feel quite instantly sexy as those goddamn nails. But I was like, how do you even jerk a guy off with these nails? I can't even, well, I guess you can do it. People do it in the porns. They jerk guys off with nails. So I've heard. I don't watch that trash. I watch it every day. Anyway, go to the link in the description of this podcast when I'm done. And, you know, buy stuff if you want. I'm trying to save money. And acquire enough money to buy my apartment building. That's a lot of money. And you know what? Anything's possible if you put your mind to it. So buy my merch, guys. Buy my merch. I got phone cases. I got sweatshirts that are very comfortable and long. I got, oh God, they're so cute. And they're so soft on the inside. I really like these sweatshirts. I wanted to go, my merch is on the more expensive end, I guess, compared to like a $20 shirt. Because I'm fucking 32, guys. I'm not gonna have a shitty quality hoodie. And I'm not gonna have a shitty quality drawstring backpack. And I'm not gonna have a shitty quality fanny pack. It's just gonna be good quality, okay? So I'd rather have that. That's why it's more expensive, because it costs a lot to get. So don't give me any shit online, okay? I've had enough. So yeah, get my merch. I'm so excited. Also, spiritual update. Yo, I'm psychic as hell.
that spiritual class coaching that I'm, the beta program that I'm working on with this woman, Anastasia. Oh man, I asked her the top of our session. I'm recording this on a Monday, 2 days in advance. You're welcome, Michael. Just kidding. I'm probably gonna send this to you tomorrow anyway. Just trying to brag about something that is not brag-worthy. But yesterday, last night, I had a, this is when I do my spiritual coaching thing. And I really like it. It's just something fun to do. I get to study stuff. I get to learn things. I love learning. She's having me buy like tarot decks and good food and meditate. I like it. I like it a lot. And it's free because she's trying to figure out this beta. It's a beta program, so she could figure out an actual formal program. So it's free. So I was like, I want to do it. I'm saving money to buy my apartment building, so I don't want to spend that much money. Oh, it's free? Okay, I'll do it. So I asked, I opened the last, we do a Zoom video. And at the top, I was like, hey, how do you know if you're channeling something? You know, if it's like a psychic thing or if it's your higher self saying something to you, or if you're just like making a thought up. Like, how do you know? And she was like, well, give me an example. And I was like, that's a fair question. So 15 minutes ago, before we started this, I was outside smoking a cigarette. I know, I'm working on quitting. Shut the fuck up. And I was outside smoking a cigarette. And all of a sudden, I got this, not a feeling. And it wasn't like a voice in my head. It wasn't a voice in my head, but it was just like, oh, Anastasia is channeling your energy right now in preparation for your session. And I just like knew it. It wasn't a voice that said it, but it was just, I had all of a sudden, I felt different. Like I was smoking a cigarette and all of a sudden I felt extremely grounded and very calm. I was already tired because I had a long day, a long weekend, but I was very grounded. That's the best way I could describe it. And so I had this thought when I was just smoking a cigarette 15 minutes ago that you were channeling my energy with whatever, this incense, I don't know, just before to get into the session. And she starts, her jaw dropped. And I was like, wait, was I right? Ding, 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 what do I win? And she was like, okay, that's very, okay, wow. And she's like, wow, wow. And I was like, what, tell me. And she goes, you know, I was doing that and I'd never done that with you before. And I don't do that with these beta coaching sessions. I only do that, you know, just kind of get into their energy field or just like connect to them before the session starts. I only do that if I'm doing a tarot reading. And I've never done that with anybody. I've never done it with you before, but I was doing that 15 minutes ago. And I was like, yo, girl, I'm psychic as hell. That's crazy. That's so cool. It's just so cool. So, I'm psychic. I don't know. It's really cool. And I do believe in a lot of, I believe in magic. I believe that you listening to this, you individually listening to this, are so much more powerful than you could ever know. And me too. Everybody is. And people are sometimes willfully ignorant or just don't even know that that's a thing. Just like you don't know if you're being treated like crap until you grow up. And then you're 32 and you're like, I feel like I was treated like crap for a while. And every one of your friends is like, yeah, you treated like crap. And I was like, wait, was that treated like crap for that whole time? They're like, yep, the whole time. And I was like, you didn't say anything? And they're like, no, we said stuff. And I was like, you did? I must have missed that. And you're like, yeah, you didn't really pay attention because you didn't want to hear it. And I was like, okay, cool. So it's like that. But yeah, I'm psychic as hell. So, okay, the last thing I want to do is I've had a lot of requests here at the Voices in Our Heads. To do another deep dive of a book before we get to Feel Your Feelings January. And we're going to do it. And I'm going to read, I've talked about a version of this book. I'm just going to read you a few excerpts from the introduction to this book. But the book is by David D. Burns, and it's called Feeling Great. I've talked to you about the book Feeling Good. I didn't know he had a book called Feeling Great because after I talked about those cognitive distortions last week, a lot of people messaged me and DM'd me and stuff. I was like, can you please do another book? And that seemed cool, the cognitive distortion one, before you get into January. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, enough people asked. And I was like, sure. And then I looked up Feeling Good and I was like, wait, he also has a book called Feeling Great? Well, shit, I want to feel great, not good, God damn it. But then I was like, well, is that just me being manic? And, you know, and then I was like, shut up, Christina, just fucking do the Feeling Great. So I have a copy in my hand, Feeling Great
by David D. Burns, The Revolutionary New Treatment for Depression and Anxiety. I had read his book, Feeling Good, or I'd listened to it, audiobook. And it totally, it was mind-blowing how much we can help ourselves. When I say people are more powerful, like you guys are all more powerful than you have, than you know, it's in so many different realms. It's spiritually, but also emotionally. We have the ability to be on top of our emotions and to lead a happier, more joyful existence and more peaceful life. We just got to figure out the tool. Like, how do we take the reins? There's reins there, but we got to take them. And we don't know how. We're just, the reins are just going. They're flapping like a balls in the wind. And we're like, hey, come here, balls. And they're like, nope, it's a hurricane. And we're like, I can't get these balls. But then this book, it helps you grab the balls of your life. So if that doesn't sell you, I got nothing else for you, okay? So I just wanted to say that I'm going to be doing deep dive of this book up until the last week of December. It's called Feeling Great. And it's basically how you could cure your own depression and anxiety. And I know that sounds... and I don't mean to belittle anyone who suffers from severe depression or anxiety. It's a lot of us. A lot of us. But I'm telling you, this shit's wild. So instead of feeling good, we're going to feel goddamn great. And so here is, I want to read an excerpt from the introduction. Okay? And I'm not going to, well, I said I wasn't going to buy people copies because I'm trying to save money to buy my building. But I really want to, if you're fucking broke, truly, and I'm not going to be able to prove it, only you know, and you got to fucking sleep with yourself at night, goddammit. So, but I'll buy 5 people this book. Just email me, thevoicesinourheadspodcast@gmail.com. Not yet, because I'm going to read some more of it, so keep listening. But if I'm just going to pick 5 at random, and it's only going to be 5, because I'm sticking to my boundaries, okay? Because last time I bought like 700 people copy of that other book, and I was like, not 700, but like a couple hundred. And I was like, okay, well, that was a lot of money, and I'm not doing ads on this podcast. Maybe one day I will. I have no fucking idea. I really want to. Maybe I'll just sell enough Babes on Blades pins to buy my goddamn building. I won't need to do any of that shit. Anyway, if you're fucking broke and you want this book before I start diving into it, email me. And I will, I'm going to just pick 5 people. Okay? But you got to email me with your full name, your full mailing address, and your phone number, because Amazon makes me put that in. Okay? But if you're emailing me because you need, I'm assuming, you know, you're tight on cash. A lot of people are. So I'm just going to believe you, okay? You know, that method has not worked for me in the past, but this is an innocent thing of just buying a person a book. So if you lie to me, I'm not going to be like, God damn it. But so I'm going to read a portion of the introduction for feeling great. Okay, introduction, then and now. Let me get my reading voice on. Hold on. When we were living in Philadelphia, my wife and I had some carpentry and painting done on our house, which took several weeks. On the last day, Frank, our carpenter, was on his knees at our front door, finishing up the work. As I was walking through the entryway, I noticed that he looked discouraged. So I told Frank that my wife and I had really appreciated the fabulous work he'd done to make our house more beautiful, and that we were sad that today was his last day. Frank thanked me and wondered if he could ask me a question. He said he'd heard that I was some kind of doctor and didn't want to impose. I told him I'd be happy to answer his question if I could. Frank said he was feeling down and wondered if I knew anything about depression or if he needed a medication of some kind. My heart went out to him because he'd been working so hard and had done such great work for us. I told Frank that depression usually results from the way we think about things, and asked if he'd notice any negative thoughts floating across his mind when he was feeling down. What was he thinking? What was he telling himself? He said he was thinking about the fact that he was getting old. He was telling himself that his body wouldn't be able to keep up the same pace for much longer, and he was worried that he might not have enough money to support himself and his wife if he retired. He explained that carpentry was all he'd done since graduation from high school. Now that he was in his 60s, it dawned on him that he'd never accomplished anything really meaningful or significant in his life. He looked meek and humble and seemed on the verge of tears. I felt sad for him. I asked Frank if I could try something that might be helpful, called the double standard technique. The basis for this technique is that most of us operate on a double standard. When we're upset or fall short of our goals, We tend to beat up on ourselves with harsh criticisms. Yeah, a little bit, Dr. Burns. But if we were talking to a dear friend with that same exact problem, good point, I see where you're going with this, we do so in far more compassionate, supportive, and realistic way. Once you're aware of this, you can ask yourself if you'd be willing to talk to yourself in the same compassionate way you'd talk to a dear friend. No single method works for everyone, but this one is often effective. I asked Frank to imagine he was talking to a good friend who was very similar to him, like a long-lost identical twin or a clone. This imaginary friend is also a carpenter who's getting close to retirement and he's been doing carpentry ever since high school. Then I asked Frank what he'd say to this man if the man confided that he was also feeling depressed in much the same way Frank was. What would he say to his friend? Quote, Oh, you're getting old and your body won't be able to keep up anymore. But if you retire, then you'll run out of money and you won't be able to support your wife and family. You've never accomplished anything meaningful during your life. At first, Frank didn't get it. He said that he would say that to his friend because it was the truth. I said, okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Let's imagine that I'm your friend. My name is David, but aside from that, I'm just like you. I'm also a carpenter. All the details of my life are the same as yours. In fact, you can imagine that I'm a long-lost identical twin. Go ahead and say those things to me. Tell me that I'm getting old and my body can't keep up anymore, that my life has been meaningless and so forth. Frank looked puzzled and was quiet for 10 or 15 seconds. Then he said, Doc, I don't think I could say things like that to a friend. I asked, why not? Frank explained that it would be cruel to belittle a friend who you cared about and that those statements didn't sound fair or even valid. I asked Frank what he would say to David, his friend. Frank said that he'd say something like this. Although you are getting old, you're still capable of doing some really good work. If you cut back a bit, which you deserve, you'll still be quite productive. Oh gosh, look at the beautiful work you just did on this house. The owners seem thrilled, and the work you did looks great. And besides, even if you decide to retire at some point or you have a decent retirement plan, so you and your wife will be fine. Finally, and perhaps most important, think of all the joy you've brought to the people you've worked for during all these years. You've never once had a complaint. You've always done good work at a fair price, and you've never cheated anyone, not even once. That's definitely meaningful. You have a lot to be proud of. I told Frank that what he just said sounded helpful and asked if it was true or if he was just saying that to shine on me. He said it was absolutely true. And then I asked, so if those statements are true about me and I'm exactly like you, then wouldn't those statements be true about you as well? Oh, I see what you did there, huh? He paused for a moment and said, I guess those statements would be true about me too. You're right. I explained that the reason he'd been depressed was not that he was getting older, but because of the negative way he'd been thinking about things. The harsh messages he'd been giving himself would make anyone unhappy. I asked Frank if he'd be willing to talk to himself the same way he'd talk to a dear friend who was much like him. Suddenly, it was like somebody turned a light bulb in Frank's brain, and he exclaimed, oh, so the problem is just the way I'm thinking, my negative thoughts. I said, exactly. He said, wow. Well, he just said, wow. I just was making it for comedic effect. Wow, I'm feeling so much better. I get it. Thank you, Doc. I explained that the type of treatment we just done is called cognitive therapy because you learn to change your thoughts or cognitions. I added that the cool thing was he just completed his first treatment in about 5 minutes and wouldn't be needing any pills. Woohoo! I just love when this happens. It's one of the greatest thrills of my life. That is why I wrote Feeling Good, the new mood therapy, nearly 40 years ago. I wanted people to know three things. If you feel the way you think, you feel the way you think. In other words, your negative emotions like depression and anxiety result from your thoughts and not from the circumstances of your life. Like I said, motherfucker, feelings aren't facts, but they are clues. So get out that treasure map and put on those sneakers. I'm not Michelle Wolf. The negative thoughts that upset you are nearly always distorted and twisted. They're just not true. Told ya. Depression and anxiety are the world's oldest cons. Ooh, spooky. And number three, when you can change the way you think, you could change the way you feel. And here's what's really important. The change can happen rapidly, even if your feelings of depression and anxiety are severe. The antidepressant effects of feeling good have since been confirmed in many published studies. For example, Dr. Forrest Scogan from the University of Alabama reported that if you simply hand a copy of this book to individuals seeking treatment for moderate to severe depression, 65% of them will recover or improve substantially within 4 weeks without any further treatment. In addition, 2- and 3-year follow-up studies have revealed that these individuals continue to improve on their own without psychotherapy or antidepressant medications. Oh my God, can you imagine not having a fucking therapist? That's crazy. Although I'll probably always have therapists for until forever. Many other researchers have since confirmed that the effects of feeling good, a bibliotherapy, which is reading therapy, which, you know, when everybody's like, maybe you're addicted to self-help. No, fuck you, because David Byrne says bibliotherapy's good and it changes your mood. So fuck all y'all. Have a good day. Bibliotherapy are comparable to the effects of antidepressant medications or psychotherapy. These findings are exciting because a paperback copy of Feeling Good is far cheaper than treatment with drugs or psychotherapy, and there are no side effects. Well, that's cool. But what about the other side of the coin? What about the 35% who didn't recover or improve after reading Feeling Good? Why did they remain stuck? How did they differ from the people who recover in 4 weeks? I thought if I could figure that out, then it might lead to another treatment breakthrough. After conducting thousands of therapy sessions with individuals struggling with severe depression and anxiety, aka a lot of us, and publishing many research studies to learn why psychotherapy succeeds or fails, I believe I found the answer. And that's why I've written Feeling Great. In contrast to Feeling Good, which was all about the cognitive revolution, this book is all about the motivation revolution. It is based on the simple idea that we sometimes get stuck in depression and anxiety because we have mixed feelings about recovery. Now, that took me a second to read, and I reread it, and I was like, woo, that's truth. Although we may be suffering and desperately want to change, there may be powerful conflicting forces that keep us stuck. As strange as this might sound, part of you may fight against or resist the very change you're yearning for. And God damn it, if that ain't what's happening to me a lot of the times. This is what Freud called resistance, way back at the beginning of psychoanalysis. Although most therapists since Freud have given lip service to resistance, very few, if any, have explained why we resist change or how to solve this problem. And that's where this book comes in. Through a new approach called Team CBT, you can overcome this resistance and achieve recovery quickly. And then it just says what that is. And I'm not going to read the whole introduction, y'all. I said an excerpt. But here, okay, so this is what, okay, this is the last thing I'm going to read. Here's how it works for this book. It says, while you're reading, you and I will also work together as a powerful team to blast the negative thoughts that trigger so much pain, such as I'm not good enough or I'm damaged.
Well, that's good, David, because I don't know that I very much like those thoughts.
By working together, we will become a powerful force that can move mountains and pain, that can move mountains of pain incredibly rapidly.
Oh, God, David, are you my new boyfriend? I feel like you're trying to be my husband and I accept.
Here's how it works. In section one of this book, I will show you how to change the way you're thinking and feeling using all the latest techniques, including how to melt away any resistance keeping you stuck.
That's fun as hell, Dave.
In section two, I will show you the most effective way to crush the distorted thoughts that cause depression, anxiety, and anger.
Ooh, anger. You added a third one, and I like that because I do get angry, Dave.
In section three, I will show you how to overcome the belief that you have a self that is inferior or simply not good enough and describe the four great deaths of the self, which correspond to recovery from depression, anxiety, relationship conflicts.
Ooh, that one's fun too.
And habits and addictions.
Ooh, I got those too, David. God damn, you're gonna help me as hell. He's gonna be my new husband, y'all.
We all know that nobody can be happy all the time.
Boy, I know, I've tried.
There will always be bumps in the road of life for all of us. So in section four, I will show you how to defeat those relapses quickly so you can continue to feel great once you've recovered. Finally, in sections 5 and 6, my brilliant colleague, Dr. Mark Noble, will show you how you can modify the circuits in your own brain using TEAM, that acronym, and why this is so much more effective than antidepressants or traditional talk therapy. I'll also describe some exciting new research on depression and anxiety and provide you with tons of additional free resources. Although TEAM can provide extraordinary fast recovery from depression and anxiety, it also involves a change that transcends mere recovery. Many individuals are flooded with feelings of profound joy that they can only describe as a spiritual transformation, one that involves a mind-blowing shift in perspective that I've come to think of as the key to lasting mental health. At the risk of sounding grandiose, oh, fucking toot your own goddamn horn, David. Jesus Christ. I believe Team CBD, that acronym, represents the biggest treatment advance since the birth of cognitive therapy nearly 50 years ago. Can you believe that that's only been 50 years old? We needed it a lot sooner than that, but I'm glad it's here. And this is why I'm so excited to share this book with you. I wrote this book with two target audiences in mind. Therapists who are eager to learn more effective and satisfying treatment methods, and individuals who are struggling with depression and anxiety. I hope that these awesome new techniques will help you break out of your own feelings of self-doubt and despair so you too can start feeling great again. So that's an excerpt from the intro of Feeling Great, because I just wanted to, and I read the whole thing without inserting a lot of funnies, because I just wanted to fucking give you this book. And that's the other thing, if you want to buy this book now, I mean, just fucking buy it. God, I should do a deal where I get discount or something, but I got it. There's so much things I'm on to do list, y'all. There's in the first chapter of this, there's all these tests that you can take. How are you feeling and how to rate your mood? And there's a lot. There's the willingness test, the happiness test, the anger test. So this first section just gives you all these tests. So it is, and I got to say, when I read Feeling Good, I was like, holy shit, it's wild. You know, because when I read those cognitive distortions last week, those were from the book Feeling Good. Well, now we're going to feel great, so fuck all that. They were from that book. So, and I was like, God damn, my mom does a lot of this shit. A lot of people do this, these cognitive distortions. It's wild, dude. It's fucking wild. And I feel like mental filtering, discounting the positives, all or nothing thinking, overgeneralization. So many people do this all the time. And then they get a pill for that? And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? I know that antidepressants have drastically improved the lives of a lot of people, and that's great. But when I was a kid and my mom went on antidepressants, it made it worse. And it made it hell for a lot of people in my goddamn household. And I just wish that somebody would have taken the time and listened to her and listened to what she's been through and listened to how she talks to herself and the way she thinks. And then maybe you wouldn't have fucking medicated her up or something. You know what I mean? But my point is, you don't have to have severe depression or anxiety to benefit from this shit, this book that I'm about to do a deep dive in. And like I said, if you don't want to buy the book, I'm going to give you all the hits, okay? So we'll spark note the fuck out of it and make it fun. So you'll get all the info. But if you wanted to buy this book, I will say, don't think that you have to have severe depression or severe anxiety or even depression or anxiety. I mean, if you don't have either of those two things, you're probably not listening to this podcast, because I don't really talk about much else. But, you know, it's okay. We're learning. We're growing. We're getting better. We're curious about ourselves. So, yeah, I highly recommend this book. I'll be starting the deep dive next week. We'll go to December and then get ready to feel your goddamn feelings. But this author has provided me with so many fucking tools that are just logic based and neurobiology based. And I just love that. I just love it. So get unstuck, you fucks. Guys, congrats on not killing yourselves. We did it. We made it another week. I love you all. I will talk to you next Wednesday. Go buy my merch, please.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night, cause Whitey's on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the moon. I wonder why he's upping me, cause Whitey's on the moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up, and as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the moon. Was all that money I made last year for Whitey on the moon? How come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the moon. You know, I just about had my fill of Whitey on the moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills, air mail special. To Whitey on the moon.